Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with that word of prayer, and we'll get right into this. Father Yahweh, we glorify you as always, and we thank you for just another opportunity to get into your presence, and we just seek wisdom and understanding on this training school service, and we bless you for it in advance. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're going to get too loud, you can't be up here this close. There are some things that I want to show you in reference to the scriptures, and I want to start out by saying that we have to be very careful that we don't teach the traditions of men, doctrines that we've heard. You know, some of the things maybe you've heard of, you may hear a person say, well, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, just little cliches that people actually believe as in the Bible. And you know, and just some, you know, there are a lot of them that's out there. And so, there, you know, these what I call cliches, and then also certain teachings and things like that, you know, that I've heard over the years, even things I've taught myself before I've come into the understanding that I have now, just different things that we've taught from a traditional point of view that really has... that's really off course with what Yah meant for us to understand it, as far as the scripture is concerned. And I'm going to give you an example of this. This just came to mind again. And so I'm going to just use this one as an example here. Oh, I'm trying to remember where it's quoted. I'm trying to remember how the scripture is quoted here. I think it'd be a good place to launch from. What am I typing on? Yeah, we'll just start from Proverbs 27, verse 5, because this is one of these passages here where you see this is quoted from a traditional point of view. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. I believe this is the one. But it's also quoted. Let me run a reference, because this is where it's originally found. I was just running a cross reference just to make sure before I really start dealing with it in detail. Okay. Open rebuke is better than secret love. This is a passage whereby when you look at it, people will come to the conclusion that this is always from a perspective of a church sitting. And so most people that use this passage, it is when they, most of the time, they feel like they want to correct leadership or, you know, the pastor or something like that, and so they say, "Okay, then I'm gonna rebuke this thing," and, you know, before the church and different things like that. And so, when you look at it in this, when you look at it in its meaning, you know, there are some things that has to be understood from a perspective of this of this verse. And so open rebuke is better than is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It reveals a twofold understanding, and it's within the passage itself. And so it's not from a perspective of what we should do to just to try to figure it out. There is information here that's enough to, just enough to give us understanding. So even when you just kind of look at some of the definition here, it says open. It says to denude, especially in a great in a disgraceful way, by implication to exile, captives being usually stripped. Okay, and I want to also go to my I got my Bible here, and I still led to look at some things in here too. So. Y'all just kind of bear with me as I okay. And so when you look at it here, it is vitally important. So again, just define the word. When you look at open rebuke, it says to uncover and different things like that. And so in order to understand it in its fullest, when it says open rebuke, it says chastisement, argument, reprove, is better than secret love. When you look at secret love, it means to conceal or to hide, okay? And this obviously means what it does. It means to hide. So when people use this, they use this for an occasion to do something that is not in line with love itself. And so the reason for doing it is because they're more concerned about the open rebuke than they are the reason for doing it. So and they use it a lot of time just from a perspective again correcting leadership, doing something in a church setting to expose some things, whereas they may feel like it's something that they don't like and different things like that. So they use this passage for foolishness. So I said, that way, for lack of a better way to put it. They use this passage for foolishness, but what's vitally important, to be understood is that and so what's vitally important for us to understand is that the open rebuke is something that should have love attached to it. And so when I openly rebuke someone, it doesn't necessarily say it has to be in a church setting, because this is what people do. And so when you openly rebuke someone, it again, dealing with the word open, it means to, it says to denude, especially in a disgraceful sense, by implication to exile, stripped. So that's what it means from a perspective of denude. Advertise, okay, appear. And so because these words are associated with open, to uncover, again, it's used in a way to where people forget about the word that's attached to both of these. So when I open rebuke someone, I'm doing it because there's love there, and I don't want to see that individual go in the wrong direction. So if I open rebuke Mahia, if I open rebuke her, then it's because I'm saying that, I love you enough to see that you're going in a direction, and I don't want you to go in that direction, okay? It's not me saying, I'm going to tell her something, in front of everybody. I'm going to expose this in front of the whole church because, I'm right. That is not what it's referring to. It is from a perspective that has love attached to it, whereas it reveals to the individual that's being rebuked that the reason why this is being done this way is because there's love. It's kind of like you know, example that I use, you know, you're driving down the road and the bridge is out. And if I grab you and rebuke you openly and said, no, you can't go in this direction. And I'm doing it in a way because I care about your well-being and I don't want to see you go down to the end of the street and go off the bridge, then that's what the open rebuke is referring to. It's referring from a perspective of love whereby it is revealed in the rebuke. Because as the scripture points out, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Well, because you grinning, you had something to say, or you just grinning? I caught you grinning. Huh? Okay, so that's what it's from the perspective from. So, just to look up another one, chasteneth. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll go back to Proverbs. We'll go back to Proverbs. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, when you look at that word here, it means to discipline by punishment. You know, so I always use this example. When I used to whoop my girls for any reason for another, I would always tell them that those were love licks because I did it as a discipline, as a training, okay? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, when you look at it, it says to train up. That's what the scripture says. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Well, that training means that you rebuke them in a way to where it's teaching them. Even the scripture says if you beat them with a rod, they will not die. You know, it's not talking about child abuse, but it is scriptural to discipline a child with a rod or some form of a belt or switch or whatever you want to call it. That is part of training. You know, that is part of training. So when you get people that say, well, you know, I don't whoop my child, I just tell him to go stand in the corner. Well, now you can't do Yahshua like that. He go stand in the corner, he'll tear up the corner. And so there has to be a discipline there, a training to let him know that, okay, these are things that you can't do. Because, you know, with him, you know, you can say stop. And he like, okay, I don't want to stop. And so stop doesn't work with him at a certain point. It comes to a point where you have to chasten him. You have to train him and correct and say, no, discipline. I said boundaries around. Stop means let's don't do this again, you know, kind of deal. And so when you look at that, it is in the same vein of it, again, whom the Lord loveth. Yah said, when I have loveth, agapeo, which means unconditional. Okay, he says, when I love you, I correct, I chasten, I instruct. Okay, and scourgeth, which means to flog. Okay, every son whom he receiveth now, and so this is not a gender perspective. This, you know, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. That's not a gender. That's just an identification of sonship. So when you look at it from a spiritual perspective, we're all sons of the Most High Yah. Okay, that's not a gender perspective. And so he says, for what's then verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, Yah dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards. When you look at the word bastards in verse 8, it means illegitimate. And so Yah said, if I don't ever correct you, it's because I don't look at you as mine. You belong to somebody else and want me to take care of you. He says, so, I deal with you. Then are you bastards and not sons. And so when you look at that, Yah is like, when I deal with you and I correct you, it's because I have taken you in as my child. I created you. You belong to me. And I'm dealing with you from that perspective. And so that's where that scripture comes from. When you look at it and go back to Proverbs 27, that's where that comes from when it says open rebuke. And you look at the word rebuke again, it means chastisement. So it's the same thing. We understand, that's why I said love is attached to that. Because anything that Yah rebuke is because he loves it. If he rebukes us, he loves. The love is there. And so each one of us has to learn how to openly rebuke. Always attach love to it. And again, you have so many people who misrepresent this scripture because they rebuke, but there's no love with it. They don't approach that individual as saying, this is somebody I genuinely love and I adore. Okay, go ahead.
So is the open rebuke for the benefit of that person or the benefit of others?
It depends on the circumstance. So when you look at the open rebuke, say for instance, in a church sitting like this, it is twofold. It is for the individual, because when you look at I believe it's 1 Corinthians 5. I think it's 1 Corinthians 5, maybe 2. Let me check and make sure. To answer your question and give you an example, I'm gonna look at 5 first.
And while he's looking, I think we talked about this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But open rebuke doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be in front of everybody, right? So I think you talked about that, where mm-hmm. people take that as meaning that open rebuke means you have to rebuke somebody in front of everybody. Open just means in terms of how that happens. So I'm not hiding no rebuke. I'm not withholding these things. I'm just letting you know. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. It didn't say public rebuke. Mm-hmm. Open rebuke.
Right. And so I'm trying to see if this is the one. Yeah. This is when you had someone who actually did what I believe it was Reuben did, slept with his father's wife, and so he's dealing with it. He's dealing with it from this perspective. He says, "Just trying to see what verse it is." Yeah, verse 5, where he talks about it. He says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahushua Mashiach. But then he goes on and he says, verse 11, he said, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one not to eat. And so just kind of in the vein of what you, hey boy, calm down. And so just to kind of answer your question, in the vein of this, I wanted to pull out 1 Corinthians 5, because it shows ways of dealing with somebody who is out of order. And so when you look at it, this issue here is brought before the church, and the church is informed on what to do. It says deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and so this is an issue that is brought before the body. Okay, when things are serious. So when you ask the question, that's why I said depends. There are certain circumstances where the open rebuke is done in a sitting like this, whereby it exposes the situation in love, whereby it is for the learning of the church, so that we don't follow in that path. And then it's also for the learning of the individual who did it, that this is not going to be tolerated, but it's done from a perspective of love. So that's why I said it depends on the circumstance, okay? Because this issue was brought before the church. But as Elder pointed out, in that the open rebuke is not something that we just, as most people do, think that this is an environment whereby I'm just going to take this before the church. and I'm just going to expose this thing. Well, it could expose the motive of the individual who wants to expose it. Then in reality, they're not walking in love. They're walking in strife. They want to cause confusion and these things like that. And so the open rebuke may be to go to that individual and correct them, meaning that because secret love is attached to it, and I explained the definition of that, secret love is me saying that I love you, but I let you go into destruction. You get a whole lot of people. Matter of fact, perfect example. I'm not going to call names for the sake of protecting those at this point in love. I was in a phone conversation with an individual that stated that there were people who were inquiring about our building project. And the one group of people, the individual said that they were asking from a mockery perspective. When y'all gonna get your building ready? You know, when your brother gonna get his building ready and stuff like that. Well, this other individual, this other person who was inquiring about our project was someone who tried to come across or who came across to this individual as they had concern about us, you know. And she was like, you know, this individual is concerned about you, you know, running the people that's being, you know, messy about it and trying to, you know, make a mockery of it. And then I'm running the people who are concerned. And y'all spoke to me and said they're both one and the same. And they're both one and the same from the perspective of Proverbs 27, verse 5. You have one who has what is a secret love, but in reality, the rebuke or the concern has nothing to do with love at all. The concern is from the same perspective of the individual who is making a mockery. It's just that they're expressing it from a perspective of love. It's just that love is secret, because when it really comes down to it, that individual is no different from the one who is just up front and in the face about it. Okay? And so these things are the way that we understand. Secret love is me telling you I love you, but then what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Okay, secret love. I know you just banged up like, what, we need to run or something? Okay, secret love. Am I planting the bomb? No, I'm just kidding. So secret love is me saying to you, man, you know I love you, but yet the bridge is out. And I'm laughing at you while you going down to the end of that bridge, but I'm telling you that I love you. That's secret love. Secret love is seeing someone going down the wrong direction and that individual doesn't correct that person. That's what secret love is. It is saying, I love you, but there are no actions whatsoever to show that. There's nothing to manifest that love. And so in reality, it is revealed as being secret because they're the only one who can be, in other words, they're the only one who can identify themselves as loving you. When everybody else sit back and look at it, they be like, no, that individual don't love you because none of their actions show that they do. Yeah, but they tell me they love me every day, but none of their actions show that they do. Yeah, but that's secret love. And so the open rebuke is connected to love. And then at the same time, because I'm willing to open rebuke, whether it's in a church setting, you know, based upon 1 Corinthians 5, or if it's a open rebuke in a private setting, both of them are love that is not hidden. It is love that manifests. So when I openly rebuke or you openly rebuke someone, that is love manifested. But you know how people are. When you open rebuke people, the first thing they think is, you don't care nothing about me. You don't care nothing about me, because if you did, you would not have hurt my feelings. Well, love has nothing. Well, you know, you know. By the way, what's her name? Saying what love got to do with it? Tina Turner is wrong, because she don't understand what truly love is. Because she said what love has to do with it is nothing but a secondhand emotion. No, love is not emotional. it has an it, there's a certain perspective of love that has emotions associated with it, but the y'all kind of love that is unconditional has no emotions to it whatsoever. So if you're looking for emotions in order to manifest the love of y'all, then man, you're gonna be disappointed, because he corrects, he trained, he chastised. He pull out a rod every now and then. And so if love is based upon how well or how good we're feeling at that particular time, this is not a place to reside. The kingdom of Yah is not a place to hang around. Because Yah said, when I love you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull out the rod, whatever that rod may be. Because that is me manifesting my love toward you. So, you know, there are times when Yah, you know, he rebukes me openly. And sometimes I just say, yeah, you love me because I'm a nut. You know, I was going down that road. You just didn't allow me to finish that path. But society has been built around your love is based upon how well you make me feel all the time. If you're not making me feel good, it's because you don't love me. No. Yah says the opposite from that perspective. He said, when I love you, I'm going to take some stuff off of you that I see that you don't need. It's luggage. It's weight. When I love you, I'm going to cut off the bad pieces. I'm going to do all the things that takes the comfort away and allow you to see yourself for who you are, ourselves for who we are, and then to grow from it. John 15, Yah said, you know, when anyone, you know, every vine in me, every branch in me that burn not fruit, I take it away. But when it does, I purge it. I correct it. I deal with it. And so we have to learn how to receive rebuke from the perspective of love. And we have to learn how to also give it from the perspective of love. Okay. Any questions, comments from this point? And that's one of the things that we have to learn how to do. So Elder, you had mentioned. Just say again what you had said in reference to the open rebuke.
Oh, I just said it's not necessarily that open doesn't necessarily mean public, although it can be public.
Mm-hmm.
The open just is from the context of. Of it not being something I private, i.e. I keep to myself. It's open in terms of the relationship between the two people.
Right.
As in keeping that dialogue open, I guess is the best way to put it. Because Otherwise, you know, people have taken that to mean, well, I got to rebuke you everything I do publicly. Well, right. They don't call for that all
right.
the time.
Right.
And you got to use wisdom to know when it needs to be one and when it don't need to be.
Right. And you find a lot of people who take this scripture and run inside churches or use other public settings to because their sole purpose is to embarrass an individual, to make them feel low, you know, to make them feel inadequate, all these different things. And so they do it in a way because there's no love attached to it. And so we have to understand that when we do that, it is the love. It should be done with love in mind. Now I'm not saying that it has to be, you know, a certain tone, you know, because when it comes down to, again, I use Joshua for example. I don't, when he and stuff, he ain't got to be honest and now looking at baby boy. Papa do not want you to get in this stuff. Cause he gonna look at me and grin and gonna be like, y'all be getting this stuff cause you playing. So the tone does not mean that there is a lack of love there. See, because my love does have compassion associated with it. So the tone of my voice may be the compassion or the level of love I have for you. So when we understand rebuke from a perspective of the love of Yah,
then I may be yelling at the top of my lungs. But it is because my compassion and my love for you is just as deep as my yell. Don't hear that. It's just as deep as my yell because I have such love and compassion for you that the rebuke is attached with so much love that my tone of voice gets very high. Don't mean that he yelled at me because he don't love me. See, that's what I'm saying right there. See, that's just unique stuff he do. He's just not my other grandson. He just was I'm not gonna get in nothing, little kid you ever want to run into. Not nothing. Just the whole time, you know, just everything just quiet. I don't think he's on pretty much any of my, you know, recordings and things like that. Very few. But this grandson here, he's on everything I do. That's just his personality. Well, he got it honest because he's a lot like me. And so I had that strong personality, still got it, and the compassion. So understand that, y'all. You know, I don't talk to him in a tone of voice that if someone outside don't understand how I am about my grandson, they would hear me say things and be like, man, I can't believe he talking that rough to that boy like that. Well, if you knew how much I love that boy like that, then you said, man, That individual really love his grandson because the compassion is there.
And I think people get it misconstrued sometimes. I think when you have some wisdom, you'll know that me being rough now will save you from things in the future. It ain't fun to be rough with you, but mm-hmm. being rough, even though he a baby, is something that's necessary to get a desired result now before it becomes a bigger problem later on, right? Because if you don't deal with certain things now at an age where it can be dealt with, then it gets beyond the point where you can deal with it. Yeah. So I think people lose sight of that a lot of the time. Oh, he's just a baby. But if you don't deal with him with a baby, he's going to be 16.
Then, and you're still going to be saying, that's my baby.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be cracking you upside your head. You're going to say, but that's my baby. So my when you finish, go ahead. And so I'm gonna say it just based upon what you said, because here's what y'all spoke to me as you were saying what you did, and you sure you finished, because I want now what y'all as Ella was talking about this and was like, okay, if we don't do it now, if I don't correct him now, then I have issues later. So y'all spoke to me and said this right in the middle of the conversation. He said, if you don't pop him across his rear end now, Then some officer or somebody who's in authority is going to bust him upside his head later. So what I'm not willing to train now, somebody going to discipline him later. It just may cost him his life. So that's why the scripture says you open rebuke them. So when you look at things from the perspective of the open rebuke, that's what it's referring to. It is saying when you see something out of order, you deal with it, but you have love attached to it. And like I said, we may have so much compassion and love for it. It may not come out sounding like it's love, but we all have to be understanding and have wisdom enough and train our children to have wisdom enough to know that when we do it, it's love. Yes.
I just have to say, what you just said is what my dad said to us 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm whooping you so the police won't have to.
Yeah.
And back then, it wasn't police brutality like it is today.
Right.
But that was profound then, and mm-hmm. it still is
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. And so these things have to be, you know, they have to be understood. We all, go ahead, El.
So I just chimed in with this comment. Like, I've watched a couple of shows, and I've seen kids that went on to become murderers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but when you listen to the story of the parents talking about the kids when they was young, they didn't discipline them. Mm-hmm. They didn't put no boundaries on them. They didn't do the things they needed to do when they were at that certain age. So then they grow up with their life without no boundaries, thinking that no consequences for anything I do, and that leads to a path that's very destructive. and they all said, but we loved him and all this kind of stuff. But your actions show that you didn't, because when he needed those boundaries around him that would stop him from going out and murdering people, you was like, well, I couldn't do it. And when I see that, it just bothers me so much, because I see if you had done that then, he might not have ended up doing what he did later on. But you can't let the feeling of, I don't want to hurt him, because one woman was like, well, he got sick one time and I couldn't withhold it from him, because every time I do, I thought about when he was sick. Well, that doesn't stop him, and all you're doing is reinforcing the behavior. Just because he got sick one time and it may have been life-threatening, you can't not discipline them for or prepare them for the future. Mm-hmm.
You know, just listen to you, you know, God rest his soul, you know, I love my sister dearly. One of the things that Shirley said years ago, she said, I'm not going to be hard on my children like mama was hard on us. And when, you know, when she said that, I just kind of looked at her and just kind of dropped my head. She shook my head and was like, man, you know, and I wasn't in church or anything when I heard her say it for the first time. You know, wasn't preaching, wasn't in church or anything. But I was like, from just hearing her saying it, I was like, yeah, something ain't right with that picture. And yeah, I don't think it's going to turn out too well for my niece and nephew, you know, based upon that thought. And now when you look back on that that choice that was made, I believe that if she had the opportunity, she would have done things different, because, you know, now my nephew is in and out of jail pretty much all the time. You know, his son is in and out of jail pretty much all the time. It's like I be saying they be doing high five. He go in, my nephew, you know, my oldest nephew come out, his son going in. It's like they do high five as they walking past one another. Oh, you out now? Let me go in. Oh, you in now? Okay, let me stay out. Oh, my dad out. Let me go in. It's like they be doing tag team going in and out. But I look back on that and I said, that's a decision that was made by my sister that said, I'm not going to discipline my children the way that mama disciplined us. Well, when you look at mama's children, was 8 of us, none of us been to jail. Because that discipline was there, the discipline was there to say, I'm not going to let you go down those roads. I'm not going to let you get away with that. And I'm going to train you up and keep the things of Yah before you. Now, that's not to put down anybody who's gone, you know, jail or something like that. You know, because there may be various reasons for a person to go. But I'm talking about the consistency from the decision that my sister made, that now you can see the harvest from her decision. She got a son and grandson who just, I mean, they high-five each other, be like, oh, nephew out? Okay, my other, you know, grandnephew gone in yet? Which one is in? One is always in and out because of that decision that was made. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that, you know, Proverbs 27:5, we have to make sure that rebuke is in love. That's the training. We train each other in the church. You know, elder will tell you, I got on you today, then a little bit yesterday. I can't remember what it was. I was like, son, was this morning. I said, son, I sent you a text, man, with a question. You didn't answer it. He was like, oh, I overlooked it because I did send him a bunch of them. And, you know, we do 3 away text messages. So it can get lost in the shuffle, you know, because, you know, Mama Coach, we run and stuff. We be texting back and forth. So we got it attached because we deal with so much stuff together where we are all looking at one another's text message. So I was rebuking him this morning all because, you know, a bunch of text messages got caught. One got lost in the miller. Well, that was a love. He didn't take that, oh, Pastor don't like me and he trying to be funny. No, I love him. And because I love him, okay, this is what's going on, okay? I ask you in this sitting, so let me deal with it in this sitting. You know, and so, you know, once he said, okay, I overlooked, I was like, oh, okay, you know, we laugh about everything good because he know that I say stuff to him because the love is there. So each one of you have to understand that he is next to me from a perspective of ministry. And if I jump him, man, the rest of y'all ain't got a chance. I'm just saying it from that perspective because I'm no respecter person. When it comes down to my love will make me rebuke him, and he'll tell you I do anything that's kind of now. I okay, son, come here. We got to talk. This here, I don't like what this just went down this way. I don't like what you just said. I don't like your thought process right now. He'll tell you. I'll do it in a minute. So each one of you that have experienced that with me, you have to understand when I say you just, man, y'all start smiling when I rebuke you. Because you be like, my pastor loved me. He loved me because if he didn't, just like Yah says in his word, Yah said, if I don't rebuke you, if I don't correct you, it's because I don't care nothing about you. But if I rebuke you, don't think it's oh, he don't like me. Just, man, y'all start smiling. I like when y'all correct me. I'll be like, boy, you looking after this nut. Man, he loved me. I was trying to bump my head against that wall, and he slapped my hand. I was trying to go that way. He slapped me and told me to turn around. Go sit down somewhere. And I'd be sitting there smiling. I'd be like, man, he loved me. He won't even let me mess up. I'm trying to mess up. He won't let me. He's training me. I'm a nut. I admit it. I'm a nut. I be trying to mess up. Y'all be like, no, I'm not letting you go in those directions. So I'm saying it's that way to get you to relate. To get every one of us from the youngest one in here all the way up until the oldest in here and those that are hearing, that it's vitally important for us to understand that correction, that chastisement, that rebuke is love-based. Don't ever take it the opposite way. Because if you take it the opposite way, or if I don't rebuke you, if I don't correct you, then I'm sitting around here saying that I love you, you might ought to question that. If you can get away with anything around me, then you might ought to question my love for you. I'm just going to go down this road and just do crazy stuff, and pastor ain't going to say nothing either. I just said, you know, the Holy Spirit is a liar. And pastor just sit there and don't say nothing. I'm just using that as an example. It's vitally important that each one of us understand it. Again, when I use my girls, you can ask them, you know, before I expose what it is, I could just ask any one of them, okay, when I used to whoop you, what did I tell you they were? And they will tell you, daddy always would say after you finish that they were love licks. And so I imparted into my girls, these are love licks. I'm not whooping you because I hate you. I'm whooping you because I love you. Teach the same thing to my grandkids. These are love licks. You know, I turn around and whoop them 1 minute and kiss them right after I get through. Papa love you, but you can't be doing that.
Okay, so it'll be okay.
Okay, so, you know, so keep that in mind, you know, as we're dealing with these things. So there are a lot of, cliches that people use, but they're just not in line with the scripture. They're just things that we should not be using to further advance our foolishness. And this is one such scripture. Okay. Y'all got it? If you do, I'm finished. You got anything else? Okay. All right. I was going to keep going some other place, but y'all was like, no, boy, right here is where you're going to stay. Okay. We'll deal with some other things I was going to deal with on next week. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today. And we thank you for your love that you've shown us. You show it to us on a daily basis because you're so faithful with your love that you keep us within the boundaries of it. And we thank you because in that love you protect us, you lead us, you guide us in all truth. And we greatly appreciate you being a father who who open rebukes us because you love us. And we praise you for that. We thank you for your son who showed his love for us openly, and that he shed his blood for us to be redeemed back to you. And we just bless you for the kingdom to come that's in us now. And we thank you for your spirit. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.